Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Tonight, it's baseball night in San Diego as the Padres get ready for their second game against the D-backs. And our host, Mike Janelle, is still getting used to sitting in the team store and talking about baseball.
This is weird for me.
Also in studio, we've got Randy Jones, who's more than used to sitting right here talking about the Padres.
What I like is I'm still in the same chair, boys.
I think your butt imprint is right there in the
right
cushions.
Here, man.
Yeah, it's nice.
And here to take your mind off of Randy's butt imprint, it's Annie Heilbrin, whose last name, loosely translated from the Old High German, means holy spring or holy well.
Now you know, all right? Now you know. If anybody out there is watching, there's like a good trivia in all that.
Now, coming to you from the AMR studio inside the Western Metal Supply Company building, it's Padre Social Hour with your hosts, Mike Janella, Randy Jones, and Annie Heilbrin.
We've got butt imprints, we've got high German, and we've got some Padres baseball.
Yes, we do.
That was a weird open.
I never knew that about my last name. This is news to me. Holy spring.
Wow.
Really?
I don't know.
I thought you were the one who maybe told
No, that's news to me.
Wow.
The butt imprints, though, is going to leave a lasting impression.
Literally. Nice. Well done.
Welcome. Oh, thank you. Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that, you guys.
With Randy and Annie, welcome into the AMR studio. It's a beautiful Saturday night. It's baseball night in San Diego as the Padres get ready to take on the Arizona Diamondbacks game 2 of their series here at Petco Park. It's a 5:40 first pitch. Andrew Cashner taking on Shelby Miller today. Annie, your first time on the couch this season.
I know.
Welcome.
It's very exciting to be here. Opposite Randy and yourself, Mike.
I like the couch.
This
good
is
look
yeah,
for you.
You know, the couch is a little different for me, so I'm going to get used to it, but it's I like it. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, it's a pleasure to be here. Unfortunately, not a victory to talk about last night. That was, I mean, a tough one. Heartbreaker, I think, is the word everyone's kind of using to describe it. This was a team that they had plenty of chances. It wasn't for lack of chances. What was your initial reaction once John Jay grounded to that double play to end the game?
Well, yeah, disappointing because so many times it seemed like in the past we had to pick up the paper looking at highlights and John Jay, St. Louis Cardinals, you know, getting that key hit in the eighth or ninth inning so many times. And I really felt confident, squared up on a pretty good pitch, you know, away from him, you know. But, you know, right at the shortstop, you can't get an easier double play than that. But. You know, a good at bat. You know, that's what I expect from him, and a well-played game. I can't say enough about the pitching and how well the pitching's been doing. And once again, James Shields went up there and pitched well enough to win, kept us in the ball game against Greinke, and you know, very impressive. And you know, and I felt for him when he gave up the back-to-back doubles to tie the game,
which
at
were
two
fair
to two.
By maybe what a combined 12
so
inches
close.
Or something.
So
like
close,
that.
It would have been foul.
And that's the way the game is, you know. Like I told him today, I said, well, if you just add a couple miles an hour, take a couple of miles an hour off, that's foul. Or, you know, it's not going to happen.
So you field it or
pitch.
It's foul, yeah.
Yeah.
All that grass out there, all of it, and that's where both of those land. It's
it was
crazy.
So hard to see that ninth inning ending. Like, you know, because you could feel how much they wanted that win. I mean, how big that win would have been, that first win at Petco Park.
And this crowd, too.
And
they
this
were
crowd, the
yep.
energy
thirsty
changed.
For it, yeah.
The energy changed in that ninth inning, and all the guys in the dugout were just watching intently. And you felt it. You thought,
gosh,
you know, no outs,
really
bases
did.
Are loaded, we're going to be fine. And it's just a tough way to end, but that's the way it goes sometimes.
So there were the four big moments that kind of turned the game. There was the Derek Norris throwing error that allowed Arizona to score that go-ahead run. Mm-hmm. There were the two situations in the eighth and the ninth, first and second, nobody out in the eighth, and then corners, nobody out, bases loaded, one out in the ninth, and that couldn't come through.
Yeah.
But I wanted to talk about a little earlier in the game where it was the Melvin Upton Jr., when he got to third base and got caught in that rundown after the positive replay overturned stealing third base. Did you guys think, because I thought, and great job by the Padres resiliently coming back from that later, but I thought that was a bit of a wet blanket because you have a chance to really put an inning on Greinke there early, put him on the ropes.
But if you're going on contact, okay, and you make contact, you know, you're moving toward home plate, you know, and of course, first baseman has to execute the play, which he did multiple times, but you know, sometimes you just get caught right there. Mm-hmm. So you're going on contact. That's just the rules. Somebody's laid that down. It's not to your discretion whether you're going to try to score or not. You're going on contact. And that's exactly what Melvin did. And hey, sometimes it works and sometimes it does not.
Yeah, and it was just, I mean, early, a tough break early. Again, they came back, but at the time, when you have that kind of a pitcher,
well,
to
when
pile it on early.
You haven't scored a lot of runs here at Petco.
That too.
It gets exaggerated a little bit, I think.
I talked to Corey in the clubhouse today, and he said it was executed just as they drew out. They, you going on contact, if he wasn't going to make it and he was going to get out, he needed to play that so that Corey had time to get to second. And
right.
And then they had to go for it because they had to be aggressive. They had to not allow the possibility of a run not to happen. So, I could see what you're saying and I could see it going either way. But to them, that was a success, the way that it went out.
Well, you still have the Spangenberg in scoring position.
Yeah, and he scored later that inning.
Exactly. Yeah. When Alexi Ramirez was able to drive
him
in.
And that's the thing. And you never know that first base when he tries to rush it. You get in that scenario, throws it high. It's a completely different play at the
plate.
And
you give Melvin credit for extending that play, allowing Corey to get to second base.
He knows what he has to do.
Sorry,
wasn't going to make it. Makes a good throw, getting a rundown. Get Spangy time to get to second.
Now, you know what I liked last night about the team, even though they lost, and I like it mostly because it was my idea on the show yesterday, was attacking early in the at-bats. We said here I wanted to see them swinging at first and second pitches, not letting the pitcher dictate the count. And I kept track of this during the game yesterday, and on guys who put the first or second pitch in play, they went 5 for 13, including both RBIs, against a guy like Greinke, and with this offense struggling, I like that going
said.
After it early.
Yes.
Especially a guy with great command, good control like Greinke typically has. In watching Greinke in his first three starts, he hasn't hit his stride, let's say, yet.
No, he struggled.
He showed.
I wish we could have taken a little more advantage of that. Wasn't really, didn't have the command that we'd seen last year in the past. So he would take that opportunity. But, they swing the bats well. We just got to continue to grind. And that's what they were doing before. I was in the clubhouse and out on the field a little bit talking to the guys. And, hey, you keep grinding. You just, trying to get better.
Andy Green said that today, too, that that was a little bit of an encouraging sign. As you can take that away, is more competitive at-bats. And so you have to now build on that. You have to be able to now not leave runners in scoring position. You've got to be able – I mean, those are the things that are going to bite you. And also the defensive errors. You have to give yourself a chance.
Yeah, number one, you can't give them extra outs, extra opportunities to the opposing team. And you can't go 2 for 10 with runners in scoring position. Come on.
Yeah, the runners
in scoring
position numbers,
they
look great in Colorado, but then you look at these other games and
they're
not there.
Yeah. That's right.
More consistency.
Now, let me ask you about this, because after the game yesterday, a lot of people were disagreeing with me. Moral victories, that's not something that a lot of people in sports that are involved, the athletes themselves or the coaching staffs, love. In fact, we have this tweet from a friend of the show, Mudcat, from Mark Grant, who said, hate is a strong word, but I hate this moral victory BS. No such thing in sports. Zero-sum game, you win or you lose.
That's right.
Deal with it.
Shout out to Mudcat. I love that.
That's good.
You can't say that any better.
That's right.
And
there's no moral victory.
There's no moral victories.
Your moral victory is when you win.
Right. What I was saying, not a moral victory, but as a fan, because I get the players can't say that, the coaches can't say that. You have to be happy that after all those shutouts that they at least it was competitive.
It was a well-played game. Would you say that?
For sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you did have a lot more opportunities to score, and you have to continue to do that. And if you do that, you're going to win some ball games. But it's win or lose. You lose.
Because you can't improve the runners in scoring position average without putting runners there first. And I think you have to. It'd be great to get it all in one shot.
I'm 1-0 on moral victories, but I'm 0-2. In the league.
Do you know what the funny thing is though about this argument is because there's been such a lack of offense that when there are some hits and there are some guys, it's very celebratory, which it should be. I'm not saying that we should not be excited about that.
Are we dropping our expectations?
A little. Oh, Randy, yes, we are. And we need to be a little careful about that, right?
That's true. Let's be careful.
But at the same time, you want to be happy that that guys are hitting and that they're getting on base and everything like that. So I can see what you're saying, Mike.
Yeah, and to our point, of all of our points, James Shields yesterday, we have to find a way to win those games, period. Andy Green, I'm not too big into moral victories personally. But John Jay saying we're putting ourselves in better position. We just have to execute
that. That is correct.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So a lot of
that's
lots what,
that's
right
why you need no moral victory. I mean, it's just better. You gave yourself opportunities to win. You didn't get it done. You lost. Get better.
Yeah, and now the Padres in a bit of a pickle. They haven't lost 5 games in a row at home since 2013. So now it's some pressure mounting for these guys to try and turn knocking on the door yesterday to kicking the door down.
We're setting all kinds of records the first month of this year.
Not the records this team has wanted.
Well, no.
No, not at all.
Mike, you're new here. You've got to, start to, you've got to – maybe you've got to bring some luck in. Maybe you've got to.
Now, don't say that, because now if they keep struggling, then it's, I put this guy's
head
on the chopping block. We don't want that.
We can start with that, though. I really think Chris Ello should quit wearing a tie on the set.
Let's do that. He was here yesterday.
Maybe it's some sock game. You got to, maybe you got to switch up colors or something
like
that.
Yeah, I've been trying.
Like
maybe it's just plain black. The Bill Center special. That's what I have to come in with and maybe mix that up, huh? This weekend, tomorrow actually, it's Military Opening Day, by the way. The Padres are proud to honor the men and women of the U.S. military. Sunday, April 17th, again tomorrow, right here at Petco Park. It's the first Military Opening Day presented by USAA. All military receive 50% off tickets to every Sunday appreciation game. So get your tickets at padres.com/military. The folks are starting to make their way to Petco Park as the Padres and Diamondbacks are getting set to take on for game two of their series. We're back after this with more Padres Social Hour.
Before every game, get your Padres talk on with us. This is Padres Social Hour.
We're taking you to Padres and Diamondbacks coming up at 5:40 on this beautiful Saturday afternoon. Back here inside the AMR studio at Petco Park. And a reminder, folks, to join the conversation. Use hashtag PadresSH on social media and also jump in on the chat happening right now at padres.com/social hour. A couple folks already chiming in through the break. We've got Joe Costanzo saying on Twitter, he was wondering what was up with you, Annie. Good to see you back. So
it's good to see that I didn't get stuck in some hole somewhere.
No.
You know, that I'm I've made it back out.
You have. In fact, so excited for your return is our friend Juan Largo, that he says he just took over a toddler's birthday party and tweeted a picture of Social Hour on TV next to all these kids.
Juan, so way to come through, Juan.
Happy birthday, right, whoever's birthday it is. And then Ghost of Ray Kroc says he likes how Annie comes prepared with notebook and pen, unlike RJ, who flies by the seat of his pants.
That's what we like.
Some good journalistic preparation.
Right. That's right. Highlighted in everything.
Walk through the clubhouse, down on the field, through the dugout. Got plenty of information.
It's all stored up here for Randy.
As it should be.
What is under that ball cap? It's all the stuff you need to know. Make sure we were talking about moral victories and all that in the last segment. I just put up a poll on my handle at Mike Janella at hashtag PadresSH. Are moral victories for you, a fan, a thing? Yes or no? And we'll update you as the show goes on.
That's going to be a no.
Pretty hard, you think?
Yeah. All right. These are hardcore fans.
We'll see.
Moral victory.
All right. Annie, it's a moral victory for us having Annie back, as the fans have
said, like that
too.
I'll take that.
A good transition.
I'll take that.
Good.
We've had some of the same old jokers, Chris Ello and Bob Scanlon and Bill, on the seats the last couple days. Your first time here. What in these first 2 weeks, these first 10 or so games, what have been some of your general thoughts watching this team?
Well, I want to preface by saying it's early, right? It won't be early forever, but it's still early right now. And they have faced some really good pitchers. I think when you talk about Greinke and you talk about Velasquez and you talk about all these guys that have been really good pitchers. That being said, it is what I'm having a problem with, and we talked about in the last segment, are the defensive errors, the runners in scoring position, giving up great pitching performances. You've got those four last pitching performances, at least seven innings with two or less runs, two or fewer runs. I hate that. That's the part that I hate. But I don't know. I don't want to jump the gun too early because it is early.
That's what they're paid to do, though. I mean, that's what I expect every day out there. You know, keep this club and my pet peeve, and everybody knows that it's runners in scoring position.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to get a couple. You don't have to get 12 hits every night.
Just make the five that you get count.
Three with runners in scoring position. Give me three runs, four runs. We're going to win a lot of ball games.
And that was the problem, especially that Philly series. You look at the box score at the end.
Right.
The hit column, pretty similar.
Right.
The runs column, a lot different. And it comes down to that.
Yeah, but, I mean, good pitching. I mean, if you're ever going to compete in this division or any division, you got to beat those guys.
I know.
I don't care.
But last season, we talked a lot about bad pitching. And so I find it comforting to know that, you've got some consecutive. And
I can't argue with that.
A few pitchers in the clubhouse have said it's good for them because they start to compete with one another.
That's right.
They want to have better outings than the guy before them. And so that's a great thing.
You don't want to be the one to blow it.
Right.
The weak link in the chain, we started
pitcher, use that to motivate yourself. I'm not going to be the one.
I also wonder this, though. When you're not getting runs, you're not getting offense, do you start to does it start to mess with you mentally on the mound where every pitch means so much more?
It should not. I mean, it can if you get deeper into the season, but not right now. And just keep putting up zeros.
Yeah.
Some things you can't control. Some things you can. And take pride in keeping your ball club in the ball game. That's what you got to realize.
We talked about that because Bob Scanlon was here yesterday. I asked him the same question, Annie. So great minds think alike. Because it's almost, when does that become pressure? And then when do you, if it keeps happening, do you ever get resentful maybe? And he was like, some guys do. Those are the guys that don't last long
That's
in the
right.
league.
Right.
But he said, it's almost like an us against the world in that pitching staff where we want to keep us in this game every single time.
I don't know how many times I've said in like 1978, my ERA was 2.8 for the year. It's like eighth best in the National League, and I ended up, I think I was 13-14, you know.
Yes.
One game under five, and it seemed like every time I looked up in the seventh or sixth or seventh inning, it was 0-0 or 1-1.
And look at this. We have game footage from you back
in
the day.
This is
so awesome. This is there, man.
Blooper this is so awesome.
Another ground ball, shucker.
Blooper has unearthed this. Yeah, it's not a loop of the same ground ball over and over. That's just the
that's
way you pitch.
That was it, man.
No, Blooper found this in the archives a couple days ago. We've been waiting to break it out for when you're here. Is this cool watching this back? I mean, it's got to
be
awesome.
But, I mean, I just remember looking up, and it was always seemed like 0-0, 1-1. I mean, I would just smile. I mean, I took that as a challenge. That's what I had to do. That's what I did.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I, you know, that's just part of that competing. And that's what starting pitchers do. I mean, it's something you can't control. So go out there and put up as many zeros as you can.
Yesterday, starting pitcher, I wanted to ask you about this. I was excited you were on the show today. So James Shields, great performance, 7 innings, 2 runs, his best performance of the year.
Right.
When Andy Green went out and everyone thought maybe they're taking him out, Andy's going to go to his La Russa playbook and start playing the matchups, he leaves him in there.
Yes.
We found out afterward that Andy said, I had no intention of taking him out. I was going out there to let him know you're getting this guy. You got to like that.
Yeah,
right?
I love that. You know, and also I think a little bit old school that you go out there to give him some support, and you do that until he doesn't get the job done. He's going to give you the opportunity to stay in and get the job done, get out of that situation. Now, you mess it up 2 or 3 times, guess what?
That leash gets yanked.
Yeah, you're going to get yanked, and it's your fault because you didn't get the job done. But you had the opportunity as a starting pitcher to stay in there, and I love that. That's just that little bit of motivation. It's not big. It's just a little motivation. And that just gives, you know, James Shields a little more confidence in himself that, hey, you know, the manager's got my back. He's going to leave me in here.
I love the look on James Shields' face, too, when that inning ended. Because I know,
the fist bump and pounding
the
glove.
Yes, and you could see it. He battled his way through that one. But, you know, you allow the tying run. You walk a guy. But then you get the next guy out. The inning ends. You get off the field. But you could see it in his face. He felt that one.
Well, you know, I think James Shields, like yesterday, when he's spotting that fastball, getting ahead of hitters, but locating it real well, it sets up all his other pitches so well. You know, and I mean, I pick on him. James Shields has the best command outside the strike zone, and I still believe that.
Mm-hmm.
And when he's throwing quality fastball strikes in the zone, it sets up all these other pitchers just off the plate, and the hitters are going to have more of a tendency to chase, get that ground ball, a little pop up, you know, or a great change up when, you know, you're behind in the count with maybe even 3-2, not afraid to throw it for a strikeout. I mean, that's good stuff.
Right, and Andy, it was that reaction when he got that out said it all to me. That was when you knew it was the right decision, because that's what you do that for as a manager, is to get that guy fired up.
And you see the other pitchers seeing that as well. You see the other pitchers who feed off that battle, seeing him battle through it. I was talking to Colin Ray the other day, and he was saying one of the things he's really trying to do is focus in on every pitch, make sure every pitch gets executed the way he wants. And you can see that with James. He didn't go right for him maybe in the beginning of the inning, but he came back, he figured it out, and, you know, he was able to get out of the inning. But that's the kind of thing that I think that other guys will feed off of, that they'll start to they employ that battle-tested, that competitive nature.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And it all helps, because they'll feed among each other. You know, when I was still today, and I'll bring it up, I'm just amazed at the information that they have in there on scouting reports before a game.
Which is why I like, and we'll get to this a little bit more.
Okay.
We were talking about this beforehand, but I like your point about the old schoolness, because what Andy Green said after the game, he said, I liked the look in his eye when he was visiting the mound. Sometimes you have all the charts, you have all the tables and the pie graphs in the dugout, and sometimes you just got to look in a guy's eye, and that's what tells you.
And go with your gut.
What to do with
and
it.
And I love that.
But let's go back to that, because you were saying how just earlier today you were down in the clubhouse in the dugout. A lot of Excel spreadsheets and
you didn't
and some
have
PowerPoints.
Those?
A little different from your day, huh?
You didn't have those in your day, Randy?
No.
What?
No. Everything was – I mean, here's my scouting report. If I knew I was, like, facing the Reds,
oh, God,
you know, and
let's
I had 2
this.
Days – in the morning I'd read the paper and see who in the lineup was swinging the bat well.
You would actually read the newspaper. That would be your scouting report.
My scouting report was the box score, okay? Tony Perez is really swinging the bat well. I'll be careful with him. You know, everybody else don't wake him up.
That is awesome.
You know, and that was my scouting report. But, you know, also, and I think these guys would tell you, any starting pitcher, once you see a guy in a situation, you see a guy at 3 at-bats, you pretty much know how you need to pitch him to get him out. And however you're going to arrive at that pitch to get him out, you know, you can have all the scouting reports in the world, in my opinion. But you still got to go out and execute. And you got to be able to, you know, adjust just on the fly.
I wonder if you went up and down the roster today, how many guys, the last time they read a newspaper, when that was. We'd have to ask them that. But that was Randy's old scouting report.
That's fantastic.
We're going to come back in just a minute. But a reminder that Major League Baseball All-Star Week is coming to San Diego. Have you guys heard about that? Get in on the action July 8th through the 12th by visiting All-Star Fan Fest, the world's largest interactive baseball theme park. Tickets and more information at allstargame.com. Just walking into the AMR studio now, Drew Pomeranz. The Padres lefty will have him right here on the couch when we come back after this on Padres Social Hour.
You want to talk Padres? Lucky for you, we're doing exactly that. This is Padres Social Hour from the AMR studio inside Petco Park.
Welcome back to Padres Social Hour. We've got ourselves a little guest here. Joining Randy Jones and myself now, Drew Pomeranz. Welcome to the couch, man. How's it going?
Thank you. Good.
Always good to have a left-hander on the couch.
Yeah, I feel like the minority now. I'm outnumbered. Not only the fact that these are two major league pitchers and I've never made it past, 12-year-old Little League, but a righty too. So we'll do what we can. This is great. Although, I got to say, we had Jabari Blash on yesterday and 6'5 and now 6'6. We're really making the host look small here too.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, thanks for coming, Drew.
You guys are all you guys are tall.
I know.
That's a lot of horses.
Basketball squad, yeah.
I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. But you've been throwing the baseball really well. I mean, like that last your last start spring training here at Petco, seemed like everything's kind of started clicking for you, hitting good spots, and everything's sharp and in late breaking, and it's continued.
Yeah, I finally kind of found my stride here. Just attacking guys. Once you get here, it gets a little more real, a little more closer to the season, and this is the first time I've actually kind of known that, hey, I think I'm actually going to be on the team for this year. So you can actually use that time to work on things a little bit, work on another pitch, work on just kind of getting everything right, and then you can kind of turn it on once the season comes along.
Now, it looks like maybe that that curveball, your breaking ball, is setting everything else up real well for you right now.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it really helps when you throw that when you have something secondary to throw for strikes. It really keeps them a little more off balance.
It makes that fastball just a little bit quicker.
Yep, it does.
And your fastball, all by itself, though, has a tendency to – quicken up that last 10 feet when it comes to the plate, it seems to kind of explode a little bit on the hitter.
Yeah.
And so I would think if you're throwing that breaking ball for strikes where they have to worry about that, then all of a sudden now that fastball in on a right-hander is going to get there a little bit quicker.
Yeah, my first couple of years starting in the big leagues here, I was in Denver and I kind of lost my curveball for a little bit. I've always had that fastball. It kind of gets on hitters pretty fast, and it takes that effectiveness away when you don't have anything else to throw because they start canceling out pitches, and sure enough, they're just sitting on your good pitch, and you're in bad shape.
That's trouble. It's going to get noisy if they do that.
We've got Drew on the Cholula hot seat here, by the way. To start your first two starts of the year at Colorado, at Philly, not easy places to jump in either. What was your mindset like coming in when you knew you were going to be in two hitters' parks like that, making your first two starts?
I mean, I started out in Denver. I know how it is. I know how it can mentally kind of psych you out going in there if that's all you're thinking about. But I'm a completely different pitcher than I was when I was there before. I think I'm a lot more rounded. I kind of, I had an experience that most people don't get to get. I kind of learned pro ball. I got called up my first year, and I got to learn pro ball in general in the big leagues. So, I struggled for the first couple of years, but you gotta keep some of that with you, and it kind of helps you, drives you to be a better pitcher.
Now, Drew, how about we talk about the curveball, a good four seam fastball that you can run in? What's that third pitch?
You get a cutter and changeup.
Now, you use the changeup very much?
Sort of. I add and subtract with my two seam. Kind of gives that same feel. So I kind of mix them both in there.
Good. Yeah. Instead of a change, use that two seamer to help maybe really set up. You're going to get him out with maybe a four-seamer, right?
Yeah.
But you use the two-seamer to set that up.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. That's beautiful.
Now, let's talk about – we were just talking the segment before you showed up about how the offense has been struggling, but you guys have been, doing an amazing job. Four straight starts now, all you starters combined, two earned runs or fewer each one of you. What is that mentality inside the rotation for you guys as you keep going to battle while the offense is still trying to figure some stuff out?
That's our job to go out there and give us the best chance to win. So, we're struggling.
That's what Randy said too. Best chance to win.
Yeah.
It's like you guys are.
We're struggling to score runs right now the last few games, but we got to do better on ourselves. We think okay, we gave up two or less, so we got to give up none next time. It gives our hitters a chance to kind of get rolling and get you don't feel like you're in a hole early on.
And on the other side, we are also talking about when you get on a roll, you're getting some good quality starts, two runs or less. you know, and all of a sudden the rotation kind of gets involved in it. You don't want to be the one. I'm not going to be the one to do it. I'm not giving them four or five runs.
Yeah.
You know, and we use that for motivation and have some fun with it
yeah.
as we compete among each other.
Yeah.
And I used to love that stuff.
Yeah, you know, it's really a competition. It drives your competitiveness
yes.
out there. You know, this guy before me did well. I don't want to do worse. You know, I want to beat him. And each guy wants to beat the guy in front of him. You know, it's going to set things up nice.
You know, I'm curious. I got to ask this question.
You can ask all the questions you want.
The pregame scouting report before you go out to pitch.
Mm-hmm.
Is that TMI?
What do you mean?
Too much information.
I don't really watch my first couple of years, I used to watch a lot of video and do all this stuff.
Because Randy thinks it's just information overload for you
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, well, that's what I was getting at. I used to watch so much stuff, and I'm like, it doesn't really, like, doesn't matter. Like, this guy's not facing me, and it's everything changes so much. You know, I know my strengths, and you kind of learn what to look for. I really didn't know what to look for at first, and I like to hear, like, very simple information. Like, you can get this guy out here. Okay, that's good.
Right. And you know, and I also said, like, your first time through the lineup and first time you see a team, you know, don't tell me in the back of your head, we don't forget.
Yeah.
We starting pitchers do not forget a hitter that we see.
No.
And you know how you got him out.
Yeah.
You know, especially if you got the third time you got him out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we don't forget.
No.
And so you've already got a book in the back of your head. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes if you start reading all the scouting reports, like you're saying, video, it's overload. It's too much information.
Yeah, exactly.
When you get down to the bottom line, It's what you saw the last time you faced him.
Yeah.
You're going to get him out again.
Yeah, exactly.
It really
yeah.
is.
You kind of have most of it in your head. It's, you know, I like to see a little bit of stuff on the new guys, but then, you know, you kind of recreate your own memory of how to get this guy out once
well,
you face him.
The one thing about the big leagues, when you make a mistake, you elevate, you like a thigh-high fastball, you know, that two-seamer.
Uh-huh.
You know, you just don't get away with them. They don't foul them back.
Nope.
You
nope.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the only problem in the big leagues. They don't. When you make a mistake,
they'll make
you
pay for it. Yeah,
that's right.
I've been, yeah, had to pay for it plenty of times.
Oh, man.
Your next turnaround is when the Pirates are in town.
Yes.
What's the early scouting report? What are you looking at for them, if anything yet?
Nothing yet. I you know, I'm with Randy on that one. I don't like to, you know, not too much information's not, you know, it doesn't really benefit you.
Oh, you mean you don't check the newspaper?
Yeah, Randy was saying he used to read the newspaper the morning of the start and look at the box score. That was his scouting report.
I read it like 3 days before.
Yeah.
Like if I'm facing the Reds, I want to know who's swinging the bat well in the
mm-hmm.
lineup. We didn't have an advanced scout.
Yeah.
So that was my advanced scouting report.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Tony Perez has 8 hits the last 3 games. I'm gonna keep an eye on Tony.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Johnny Bench is 1 for 12. Don't wake him up.
Yeah, exactly.
Let him keep rounding out.
Mm-hmm.
That type of thing. That was
and then
my,
you see what then you see what Dagwood and Blondie are up to in the comics in the next page.
Sure.
Right?
Not what a bad idea.
When was the last time you actually read a newspaper, Drew? Does that still happen at all, you guys in the clubhouse?
I mean, you have them around the clubhouse and everywhere, so that's probably the place I see them the most. Everything else is on your phone or right. Twitter first before it's there anyway.
My, how the times have changed, huh?
You tweet a lot?
No, I read it a lot. I don't
you
tweet
do?
A whole lot, though.
I just check it. I might throw something out there. I might just one morning just throw something, just slam you a little bit just to wake
just
you up.
Just see if he's keep paying attention. Yeah. Drew, thanks so much for stopping by, man. You have looked great these first
thanks,
two
Drew.
Starts, and
thank
we're hoping
love
for
it,
the best for
we'll
you the rest it. Of the way.
All right, appreciate it.
All right, and that was Drew on the Cholula Hot Seat. Uncap real flavor with Cholula Hot Sauce, the hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap and the official hot sauce of the San Diego Padres. Thanks to Drew Pomeranz. We're back with some more Padres Social Hour. Don't go anywhere.
Before every game, get your Padres talk on with us. This is Padres Social Hour.
We're back, getting you set for Padres and Diamondbacks Andrew Cashner and Shelby Miller at 5:40 p.m. For now, we're still here in the AMR studio, and all that moral victory talk. We have Dennis, who was tweeting in using the hashtag PadresSH. Don't forget, you can jump in on the conversation with that too. He says, that's a nice seg into loser talk. The offense has to start manufacturing runs or we're in for a long 2016. So moral victories do not get you too far,
no.
I guess.
Yeah.
And
no.
To update my poll, Randy, you called it 86-14% right now. Moral victories, throw them out the window.
Throw them out the window.
We don't like
them.
It's
going to end that argument for you. Yeah. It's
I mean, I give you one, you give me one to nothing, you go 9 innings. That's a moral victory. No, that's an L.
Yeah, you're still going to sleep at night, not happy.
Still got the RA.
All right, let's take a look. We're going to take a look at the lineup and look at the pitchers today. But first, the AMR injury report. We're going to talk about some of the – I mean, there's been a couple guys that have already hit the DL for the Padres. And with Tyson Ross, the big news today was that, Annie, you were there talking to Andy Green today. Not going to come back in time for that 15-day
no.
DL.
hopefully, the hope is that he's going to start throwing again by Monday, but not going to come back off the DL in the time that they wanted. So I would guess it's just more they wanted the inflammation to go down, and they just haven't seen what they want to see.
Yeah. And at least one rehab start, you know, in the minor leagues at Elsinore or wherever he might go. But probably, I would guess, too, to make sure that inflammation is completely out there, get the pitch count back up. I don't think you want to come firing back out in the big leagues. If you know, my 100% and my 85%.
If you're still not sure,
right.
It's not
you wait.
Time to come back.
That's right. Right.
He was due to come back on Wednesday, the 20th. That would have been his 15 days in the DL. Andy Green says forget about that. And, again, he hasn't even picked the ball up yet, but should by Monday. Yanger Solarte, the other big cog on the DL, he's dealing with a sore hamstring. And the Padres actually tweeted out some video of Solarte today, taking some ground balls before the game. So even still, that kind of movement, you're not really pushing the hamstring that much. So that's another part of the body that you really want to be careful with.
Yeah, but I'm confident, 15 days, Solarte is going to be back in the lineup.
Dr. Jones.
I'm not as confident, but
really,
just because the hamstring can be so tricky. I don't know.
I don't think it was as bad as we all thought.
Okay. And he is out there already.
Yeah,
right.
And the way he was tripping on the bench, he's already ready to get back.
Okay, good. Fair enough.
I liked it.
That was the AMR injury report with some conflicting medical opinions here on the couch.
We're real doctors over here.
The old, what is it, like 9 doctors out of 10 say, well, you found the one who's the 10th right
the
here
one,
on the
yeah.
couch.
That's right. Here we are.
American Medical Response is the emergency medical response team for Petco Park and wants to remind you to stay safe, San Diego. To learn more about AMR, visit amr-sandiego.com. I talked about the pitching matchup today briefly. It was Andrew Cashner and Shelby Miller. Let's talk about those guys. Two guys we're talking all show. The theme is kind of run support's not there. How do you react to that as a pitcher? These are two guys that had the most losses in the National League last year, but also the two worst run supports in the National League last year while they were in the game. So a little weird to see them going against each other.
Going against
they
together.
Lead. It's amazing. They lead, with zero runs or the least amount of run support. This is number one and number two.
I would say, number one, I was encouraged last time with Cashner and the way he attacked hitters, went after hitters with the fastball. He had great command, down in the strike zone, change in speeds, and that's what he has to do. When he got in trouble, gave a few runs, he elevated the ball. And when I say elevated, it wasn't belt, but it gets thigh high and maybe catch a little bit of the plate. And you can't do that this level. And when you're changing speeds like he can so well. And that two-seamer backdoor to left-handers and this type of thing that he's playing with, I love to see that. And I saw a lot of pitches inside on left-handers and right-handers. Andrew Cashner needs to establish the inside part of the plate at 94, 95 miles an hour. And that'll free up the outside part of the plate as long as he keeps it down. Now, if he gets it up thigh high, they're going to drive that ball
then
the other way.
So, at Philly, his last start, and we're taking a look at some of his highlights from that start. Now, he went 5 innings, but it was the first 3 innings where he was really cooking, had
really
the fastball
good.
Up in the high 90s. He was touching 98, 4 strikeouts those first 3 innings, just 1 hit allowed, and it was a deflected single. And, Annie, you've been hearing through the grapevine, that's the Cashner that this team wants to see more of.
Yeah, that's the Cashner that Andy Green is hoping that today he built off those first 3 innings.
Right.
Those are the first 3 innings that – Andy Green was impressed with, and we all were impressed with. That is Cashner at his best.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm curious what you've known him since he's come over to the Padres. What have you seen from him in his evolution? Coming into this season, do you notice anything different about him?
Well, I see the number one, the two-seamer. He's not, trying to pitch to contact and the type of thing. That's not his style. It's going to happen, but I think overall what he has to do, is pitch inside a little bit more. And don't get so cute sometimes. he starts playing with that breaking ball, and the off speed stuff. When you got a power arm like that,
when the flames are coming out of the hand at 98,
don't get so cute.
I mean, it's just like we were barking about him hanging the breaking ball to the pitcher in his first start.
Right, the home run took him deep.
Yeah. And I understand the thought process, but the execution was atrocious. And I think overall, it's the same thing. I mean, you got to demand more of yourself and hitting better spots, and that's just a matter of concentration. But you got to have that command with a fastball first, and don't get cute and get beat with an off-speed pitch.
I think we need a T-shirt. that has your face on it that says, don't get cute. Yeah, don't get cute.
I put my face on it because it's not that cute, so it really drives home the point.
Yeah, we'll put you on the back.
Yeah, something like that. A great stat. So if you check out FryerWire, our blog, it's padres.com/FryerWire, and Bob Scanlon does a great job breaking down each day's pitching matchup. And he had this stat for Cashner, which blew my mind. He's gotten to an 0-2 count, so two strikes on a hitter, 12 times this year, and he's given up six hits in those 12 times. When you're up 0-2, you got to close that door. You got to slam it.
And what do you think he's throwing in those 0-2 situations?
Getting cute.
He's getting cute. You know, and sometimes you don't have to. And you're going to get cute 0-2, you know, waste the off-speed pitch somewhere. You know, and then get him out with the number one. And how about that?
Yeah, that's why it's number one, right? It's been there for ages. We touched on this a couple days ago, I think, when you were here, Randy, but Jellyman coming in with a question that he had during Drew Pomeranz's segment is the integration of a game plan, all of the scouting reports, the shifting, maybe all this extra information, messing with pitchers pitching. Do you think that takes away from the mentality?
I think great question. It can in certain situations. If you're doing that shifting, you know, like for me, I mean, you know, a lot of times and every pitcher has a different repertoire. And you got to pitch a guy a certain way if you want him to hit the ball in that direction. Well, you don't throw him 95-mile-an-hour fastballs away if you want him to pull the ball.
Right.
You know, duh. You know, and if you're power like myself, a right-handed hitter, and I'm throwing him sinker balls, you know, away, away, away. I mean, I don't see where the shift is much of an advantage for me if I was on the mound. Power arms like we have today in baseball, though, I understand it. And these guys can turn around 95, 96 like it's nothing.
Yeah.
You know, but I think it does affect sometimes how you try to execute your game plan to get a guy out.
Because now you've got two game plans to worry about.
Right.
You really do.
And there's got to be a fine line between strategy and overthinking it.
Oh, yeah.
Too much strategy.
Yeah, but, you know, basically when you move players, it's their tendencies. Then that's what it is. So you really, as a pitcher, I wouldn't worry about it too much. You're changing tendencies. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not, like you saw a couple of times, like I'll try to bunt or push the ball to the third base side. And how many times are they successful, like 1 in 10? And if you get a power hitter trying to push the ball down the third baseline, I'm going to give him a kiss. Then you've done your job. If he's not trying to hit the ball out, I love it.
Then the hitter got too cute, and that's when they get the kiss. Yeah,
that's it.
We're going to come back and talk some hitters. We will take a look at the lineup. The real reason Annie came down today was to try and put Blooper in his place and teach him a lesson in the head-to-head challenge.
All right.
But today, this little hat we have here on set, they're giving these away here. It's baseball night in San Diego. Tonight's the first one, but it won't be the last. Saturdays at Petco Park mean that all fan giveaways are happening. Saturday, April 23rd, so that's the next one. If you can't come tonight to get the hat, you can catch the Padres take on the Cardinals at 5:40 and get a free Tyson Ross jersey T-shirt presented by Mission Federal Credit Union. And all jerseys and hoodies this year are available in a variety of sizes, not just your old XXL. So you get a bunch of different sizes for adults and children. Tickets at padres.com/BNISD. We come back to break down the lineup, getting you set for Padres and Diamondbacks. This is Padres Social Hour.
We're talking Padres all season long. This is Padres Social Hour, coming to you from the AMR studio inside the team store.
Padres looking to snap this four-game home losing streak to start 2016, and they'll get their latest chance in less than an hour as we get you set for that game. And what better way to get prepped for it than with a little bit of lineup talk? See who's going to be swinging the bats today, try and get the Padres in that W column. Let's take a look at the lineup now, presented by United. So we've got John Jay. He's been in that funk since the 8-game hitting streak to start the year in center field. Will Myers, again, batting second and playing first. Matt Kemp in right field. Brett Wallace hitting cleanup, playing third base today. Melvin Upton Jr. protecting him, playing in left field. Then it's Derek Norris catching, Alexei Ramirez at shortstop, the red-hot Alexi Amarista at second base, and Andrew Cashner is pitching. So that leads us to the Supercuts head-to-head challenge.
And, I'm so excited.
It's been 2 days in. This is the real reason Annie's here. She came to show Blooper who's boss. Yesterday, though, it was the couch who did start a little bit of a streak maybe for this side of the room. It was the pick from Chris Ello that Alexei Ramirez would have the better game than Will Myers, who was Blooper's choice. And that was indeed the case. Alexei driving in that run, the first run at home the Padres have scored this year. So we're all tied up at 1-1. Today, though, the first pick goes back to Blooper. So, Blooper, who you got?
I'm going to go with...
Don't do it, Blooper.
Not him. Anyone but him.
Yeah, don't take mine. Go.
I'm going to go with Brett Wallace.
Ooh, okay. Wild card.
Why not? Shelby Miller.
A little third base. Yeah, okay. Well, I don't know matchup-wise, but I'm going to go Alexi Amarista because multiple hits in the last three games. I'm going to go with that.
Makes sense.
Does that make sense? Okay.
Let me ask you guys, and we'll see how that plays out. Oh, go ahead.
Can't we play one day?
Can you just play for fakes?
Just play for fakes? We'll talk after the show. Maybe we'll tweet our picks, maybe, and that way people can check it out. That's called synergy and cross-platform pollination.
See that?
I'm very interested in the two picks that you guys had because Brett Wallace, obviously, playing at third base, that's something that he's not too familiar with.
Right.
But I looked up these stats for him today, and in his career at third base, he's been 18 games that he started there. He's hitting .316 with four home runs and 10 RBI. So maybe that third base is what wakes him up a little bit at the plate.
I knew that.
Oh, yeah.
Sure he did.
You're reading Mike's notes.
Good job. The other side, though, Alexi Amarista, 7 for 15 since he came up back from the minors. Is he playing his way onto staying here once Solarte comes back?
He does not want to go back down to those minors.
I would say he's making a statement.
Yeah, a little bit.
I mean, I don't fix something that ain't broke. I don't send him back down. I know that.
Yeah, it's been, to your point, Andy, three multi-hit games in a row now for him. So you're
and
going
the one
with
against
the
Velasquez, he's the only one to do it. So
yeah, I'm going to strike out 16 of your teammates, but you're going to get
Alexi,
two hits off
But you're
going
to be able to get through, right. So I'm going to go with that. I'm going to ride the hot streak.
All right, so we've got Brett Wallace for Blooper, a reminder, and Alexi Amarista for Annie. And we'll
apologies to the couch if that doesn't work out. Apologies to whoever's tomorrow.
Can't apologize.
Yeah, own it. Own it.
Yeah, there's no apologizing.
What about your thoughts quickly, guys, on Melvin Upton Jr.? Not a typical 3-4-5 hitter, his skills profile, but he's batting .321 his last 8 games. Is having just any kind of a good contact hitter good protection for a Matt Kemp?
I think so, and I think it's just you got to wiggle this lineup around, trying to find the secret formula, and you got to do it, and you find out what's going to work and what they're going to do. It'll motivate Melvin, and talking to Melvin a lot in spring training, I just like talking to him, the conversations we had, and his goals this year, what he's trying to do, and get back to the player he knows he has the capability of being.
I think he feels a lot more comfortable too.
Yeah. I really do, and I think there's a confidence level that's a lot higher right now.
Yeah, that you kind of see it as a privilege when you're batting in that five spot,
and I think
responsibility.
And I think he'll embrace that.
And coming in last season, you know, I think having that full season, having that full off season, and now being here this second year with the Padres, I think that's helped him. I just think there's a different. Just feels more comfortable. Just feels more confident, more comfortable being here.
He got to start the season. He's fresh.
Yeah.
His brother's not here. He can.
He
really
knew what he was
in.
Getting into. Yeah. Exactly.
Right. But again, the names that we care most about today, it's Alexi Amarista on the couch and Brett Wallace in Blooper's chair. That's the Supercuts head-to-head challenge. At Supercuts, they pay attention to every detail, the cut, the lines, the hot towel finish, so you can feel sharp, clean, and ready to go. Find a Supercuts near you at supercuts.com. We're back to wrap things up on Padres Social Hour right after this.
Get ready for every Padres game with us. Coming to you from inside the team store at Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Here inside the AMR studios as we wrap things up here in the team store at Petco Park. And Annie, you got some beef with Pete, our voiceover specialist.
What? He said there's just some guys on the couch talking baseball. I'm not a guy, Randy.
Get over it.
I mean,
come on.
What?
you're
discriminatory.
It's
sexist.
You're one of the gang. Okay.
Just the gang on the couch talking baseball.
No, we'll see if we can get Pete to fix. We'll see if we can get Pete to fix that.
Come on. Now.
We'll see if Pete work on that for next time.
Randy's like, we got bigger problems.
Yeah.
Keep it moving.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what you're, Randy, worrying about that. A couple guys though are going to be on later. This is the debut today of the post game. Padres Social Hour, Kurt Bavacqua coming back with David Wells, his first guest.
I feel like
your
seat's going to feel so different tomorrow morning. Bavacqua's going to have sat in it, worn the – like, you're just – it's going to be Bavacqua.
I like how we're starting and ending the show with leather couches, butt imprints, right?
There's going to be a different feel to it, Mike.
Yeah, it will be. I also wanted to Nikki Patriarca, who's here every day, tweeted this out yesterday, a new addition to the set. We had one of the old batting helmets, but then yesterday she brought us one of these new matte batting helmets, and she tweeted it out. And Brady Phelps, who has co-hosted here a couple times already, He was demanding this. So Nikki put that tweet out, said, "Are you happy now?" And Brady said, "I bet it's only for Friday. You're going to take it away for Saturday." Well, no, it's still here, Brady.
Wow.
So hope you're happy.
What Brady wants, Brady gets. Has he brought you guys pancakes yet?
Not yet.
Ah.
So we want that. So you owe us one now, Brady. Pancakes for the helmet. That's our ransom. Thanks, Annie. Thanks, Randy. Don't forget Padres Social Hour postgame tonight, and then tomorrow at noon, it's me, Bill Center, and Ben Higgins back on the pregame. Padres and Diamondbacks coming up. Pod's looking for that first win. We'll see you later on Padres Social Hour.